This is Mark Mullinex. Welcome back to our class and podcast on Tao Te Ching, Power for the Peaceful. This is verse 39, Wise Up by Going Low.
When you listen to the ground and you put your roots down, you can hear what she says if you're listening. When you listen to the ground and you put your roots down, you can hear what she says if you're listening. The sweet sound of the river as she moves over the stones. The same song that the blood in your body sings as it weaves around your bones. When you're listening, when you're listening, are you listening?
Humility is the Taoist way to avoid premature death. To be at the world's front is to expose oneself, to render oneself vulnerable to the world's destructive forces, while to remain behind and to be humble is to allow oneself time to fully ripen and bear fruit. This is a treasure whose secret spring is the fear of losing one's life before one's time. This fear of death, out of a love for life, is indeed the key to Taoist wisdom. Ellen M. Chin, The Tao Te Ching, a new translation with commentary.
Today's reader is Stan Wilson, who describes himself this way.
I'm Stan Wilson. I am a pastor. I'm the co-pastor of the Circle of Mercy Congregation in Asheville, North Carolina. I'm also working with an organization called Raw Tools South, and we turn guns into garden tools.
Two things to begin with. Humility is the underlying theme of today's verse. It's later identified in Tao Te Ching as one of the three treasures. One key verse here is number 67, the one that I entitle The Three Virtues. And it reads in part like this.
I have only three virtues by which I steer. First, unconditional mercy. Second, simplicity of wants. Third, humility. Practitioners of mercy are fearless. Practitioners of simplicity are generous. And practitioners of humility are natural leaders of all. Practice these to perfect one's potential and persist.
Humility is a frequent theme in Taoism and Tao Te Ching. Humility, from the Latin humus, signifying the point at which compost becomes earth, is English's etymological source for humane. Humanity, human, and humbled, all of which signal low places because, well, we come from the earth and we return to the earth. Earth to earth, ash to ash, dust to dust. Verse 22 speaks about the leadership by humility of the Taoist sage. Verse 28 speaks about joining one's virtue or splendor with humility to become heaven's womb. That is, the person rooted with their humus, that is, rooted within their natural humility, is someone taken, like every person is, taken from dirt. You know, that stuff we walk around all day on, but rarely give a second thought to. But to belittle, or to think less of someone, or think of someone as less than, is nothing less than getting disconnected from one's roots and even losing one's basic humanity. For the practice of humility is antecedent practice to being compassionate. That is, humility first, then compassionate second. Let me repeat that. The practice of humility is rooted in our earthly nature, and when it grows into compassion. Taking less thought for oneself means thinking of oneself less often. Through Tao Te Ching, all the greatness and power and virtue of Tao flows through how open we are to our natural born humility. I guess our homework is discovering ourselves how to keep that door wide open, without fanfare, without calling attention to it, of course. Now, there are about 200 billion galaxies in the observable universe, more than 25 for each person alive now, based on an 8 billion population. And each galaxy has at least 100 billion suns. In our galaxy, the Milky Way, there are about 400 billion suns, or more than 50 suns for each person alive now. Some of these suns are more than 100 times larger than ours. Traveling at the speed of light, it takes 13.2 billion years to get from here to the, as far as we know, furthest away galaxy. And yet, as Anatole France says, and I quote, "It is possible that our millions of suns make up altogether but a speck in a minute insect in a world vast beyond our ability to imagine, which is in some other world no more than a speck of dust," unquote. To consider the universe is always humbling, right? Why are we not more humble? Why is humility hard? As a 1980 country song by Mac Davis sings it, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror, 'cause I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be a hell of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best I can." Today we link plenty with humility. In Taoism, everything is already plentiful. There's no shortage, no scarcity in Tao. No need to spend ego energy to aggregate or to collect more power or more things. For humility is the acceptance of our situations without that ever-present tug or call by society to, you know, do more or be more or even be all you can be. No, what if you're already sufficient? A humble person knows this and has no need to exert ego energy to be anything or anyone else, or anywhere else for that matter. All creation's forces and arrangements are already sufficient, complete, and not in need of our meddling. Of course, I'm not talking about being nonchalant about disease and floods and earthquakes. The correctly meditating mind is not cruising about, though, not looking for more. But that mind is alert, working, and sensitive to what already is, not imagining what is not. Well, we've given some context to the quality of humility. Here is our verse 39, as read by Stan.
Verse 39, Meditation on Humility. The One provided these benefits a long time ago. Each beneficiary points uniquely to the One in its natural way. Heaven's benefits were transparency and purity. Earth's benefits were stability and peace. To the spiritual was given divine power. Valley's benefit was abundance. All created things' benefit was life force itself. Ruler's benefit was the ability for Tao to flow through their ruling and so keep everything balanced. Without its transparency and purity, I fear heaven would split apart. Without its stability and peace, I fear earth would crumble. Without divine power, I fear the spiritual would wither. Without their abundance, I fear valleys would dry out. Without its life force, I fear creation would go extinct. Without Tao's wisdom permeating their ruling, I fear rulers too would come to a bad end. Can you see how greatness is rooted in subtleness, and how every lofty thing has its source in the lowly? Is this not why true rulers feel themselves helpless and orphaned whenever they connect with their humble subjects? Similarly, there is no carriage without its unsung parts, such as wheel, harness, and axle. Rather than wearing jingling trinkets of jade, be unbreakable stone.
So here we are, reintroduced to the power of humility. Humility is not a value that is in vogue in our modern world. You have probably seen t-shirts with phrases like, "My love language is me, myself, and mine." Or the one I saw just last week, "I am the center of the universe." We can trace some of this to the self-esteem movements, which depend upon us focusing on those times when we were told that esteeming ourselves poorly was a source of everything, from truancy to bad grades to bad relationships. So it's no great insight to say that we Americans or moderns tend to think very highly of ourselves. But today's verse on the idea of humility, we're going to get some very different ideas. In verse 67, humility will be the product of a six-character verse that means, literally, not daring or presuming to be first in the world. But in this verse 39, there's just a single word, qian. That is, signifying that something has emerged from very low, even squalid conditions. The dirtiest of the dirt. That is, humus. A Taoist story from a book of parables and teachings for practical living entitled Li Zi, and authored by a Taoist of the same name, goes like this. People work themselves to exhaustion for four things: longevity, fame, social status, and wealth. However, they do not know that these four things only bring problems and anxiety. When you have longevity, you'll be afraid that evil spirits or uncontrollable circumstances will take it away. When you have fame, you'll be anxious that your reputation will be damaged by people jealous of you. When you have social status, you'll be afraid that some shift in politics might take that away. When you have wealth, you'll be afraid that you may be robbed. Only people who see through the illusions of longevity, fame, social status, and wealth are not burdened by anxiety and fear. If there's nothing at stake, then there's nothing to worry about. No fear about dying, no concern about how you present to others, no worry of social status, so you never be bothered by what others think. Not possessive of wealth, you won't be tiring your body or mind or soul to accumulate more wealth. These four things, longevity, fame, social status, and wealth, are visitors, not residents. This is from Li Zi, as translated by Eva Wong. Elsewhere, there's a maxim from the Chinese that goes like this. The shoot, like a bamboo shoot, the shoot that grows tall is the first to be cut, meaning the person who draws attention to him or herself may receive the wrong kind of attention. This wisdom is reflected throughout the world. The Roman philosopher Horace said, "The lofty pine is oftenest shaken by the winds. High towers fall with a heavier crash, and the lightning strikes the highest mountain." Or as we say when I was growing up, "Pride goeth before a fall." To be human is to be born, partake of life, and to die. Life itself is the gift. It does not have to be wrenched out of shape. You don't have to be a hero, just an affirmer of what one already is, what is already, what is here, what is now, what is real. Perhaps someday we shall find our humanity, and then we'll give up our dreams of divinity, that is, to be more than we are. What if you're just humans, 100% humus, humans, humble, and nothing more? When I went to the Buddhist monastery in Korea, they asked me, "Why are you here? What do you want to learn?" I thought and I thought, wishing and wishing that I could know what I wanted. And while thinking, I realized that thinking is the enemy of humility. I don't want something added. I wanted something to be taken away. So I wrote on the questionnaire, "Don't know. I want to not know." So, my fellow humans, we are humus, rooted in what enables humaneness. Humus, humility, human, humane, humble. Humus is what we're made of. Humus is the place from which we sprang and to which we shall return. Dust to dust. So embrace natural simplicity and humility. Leave behind those artificial ventures of greatness. Taoism emphasizes simplicity and humility as essential to virtue or power. Simplify your life by letting go of unnecessary desires and attachments. Downsize not just your things, but your emotions, your reactions, your expectations. Embrace humility by acknowledging that you are a part of and wholly dependent upon a larger whole to which all beings are interconnected.
Pursuing knowledge, your routine is multiplication. Pursuing Tao, it is subtraction. Prune, lose, diminish. Keep subtracting until there is no doer, no pursuing. Verse 48, Tao Te Ching.
We heard in the episode on verse 27 on the art of effortless excellence these words. This verse's opening line, that is, true pilgrims leave no trace of their passage, paints a vivid picture of a virtuous traveler who moves through life with humility and grace, leaving no ego-driven trail marks, no graffiti scrawls of, I was here. Just as a pilgrim's footprints are erased by the wind, a true leader's actions are guided by emptying of the self, rather than a gathering of souvenirs for personal glory.
Those who treasure the way fit in without making a show and stay forever hidden. Hence, they don't leave any tracks. Wang Jin.
The concept of effortless action or even Wu Wei is at play here as well, where one achieves excellence not through force, but by aligning with the natural flow of things. So while Wu Wei actually translates as not doing, let's expand that sense to doing that is aligned with the natural flow of things. Nothing more, nothing less. The skilled pilgrim or traveler is not obsessed with goals like reaching a particular destination, but instead focuses on the journey itself. The journey is the only goal. Living without fixations on specific goals, one then is freed up within. At the same time, one returns to being freed up for others. And you do that. You do free up others. Only free people can free up others. Humility is therefore the gateway to compassion. Put another way, just doing what we are meant to be doing, we model and then help, and then empower others to do the same. Connected with humility, Tao's flower moves and flows like water into every nook, cranny, and underside place of society, transforming everything, but owning nothing. This leads us to the new but ancient insight that true power lies in stillness. True wisdom roots in serenity. They do not thrive on urgency or upon human ambition. If a leader leads from anywhere but her or his humility or humus roots, how then can the world return to being humane? Which leads now to these words from verse 28.
Couple splendor with humility to become heaven's womb. Like an uncarved block of wood, you return to your natural luminous state, and so become any sort of vessel for every need. You cannot lose.
Humility, often associated with yielding, flexibility, and open-mindedness, becomes the fertile ground for spiritual growth. In this surrendering the need for control, we become vessels for higher forces to work through us. Vessels rooted in earth, but with no limits as to their compassionate usefulness.
If you will think of ourselves as coming out of the earth, rather than having been thrown in here from somewhere else, you see that we are the earth. We are the consciousness of the earth. These are the eyes of the earth, and this is the voice of the earth. Joseph Campbell.
So live quietly in the only three dimensions where we can live, the confluence of the now with the here and the this. Now, here, this. Live quietly so you can sense the skies strengthen you. Observe and absorb the energy of the earth's deep rhythms, pulsing through wave, lava, seasons, and eons of never-ending change. You, a center of humble consciousness, are the instrument for peace, for this time, this day. The promise of this peace is no creation of your body or your wisdom, but is a flow and a flowering balanced on how willing you can give of yourself to sky, to earth, to others, and so shape and bring good things for ages to come. This is a reverent attentiveness to Tao. So Tao becomes and remains unhindered in at least one person in the room. That is, you. I'll remind us of this verse's promise and power with a few more quotes from the modern to the ancient. The first will be last, and the last will be first, said Jesus, and sang Bob Dylan. You must keep a don't-know mind always and everywhere. This is the true practice of Zen. A Korean monk named Sung San died in 2004. It is good a philosopher should remind himself now and then that he is a particle pontificating on infinity. Ariel Durant, who died in 1981. Better to go unknown and leave behind an arch than to burn like a meteor and leave no dust, said Virginia Woolf, who died in 1941. Albert Einstein said, 100 times every day, I remind myself that my inner and outer life is based on the labors of others, living and dead, and that I must exert myself in order to give in to the same measure as I've received and am still receiving. Voltaire, who died in 1778, has this sermon preached before fleas. It goes like this. It's a humorous one. My dear fleas, you are the cherished work of God, and this entire universe has been made for you. God created man only to serve you as your food, the sun only to light your way, and the stars only to please your sight, etc., etc. Augustine, who died in 430 AD or Common Era, it was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes human beings into angels. So, seems to me that living wisely, that is to wise up, is a descent, an exploration, an adventure in going low. Stan is going to pose some must-hear questions soon, questions you yourself have probably wondered about. But first, here's my conclusion. We are inextricably interrelated with Earth and all its processes. Nothing is alien in these connections. Our homework, our practice, is to come to new ahas and realizations and oh wows about our ancient yet ever-present, everlasting, always there but never twice the same connections with our origins, our roots in dirty humus and muted earth. Cashed out, there is nothing we can do to sever these connections. No, not one. Nor is there not doing on our part that can weaken these connections. No, again, not one. Each thing, each life, each being emerges from the ground and returns to it. Grounded thus, get it? We were all kin before we were even born. And the earth to which we return ensures that we shall return to this kinship upon death. Seems like our life is better the more we remember our connections, and made worse by forgetting them. Humus, humility, human, humanity, humble, and maybe even humor. All we have to do is relax into a smile, and with a laugh or a cackle or chuckle, we remember our source in the magnificence of mud from which we make pottery. So connect up again.
Can you see how greatness is rooted in subtleness, and how every lofty thing has its source in the lowly?
Let's come back down to earth now before it's too late. Humans are meant to be humble. Tao is origin of all. Tao is the destiny of all. Seems like humility is the way, get it? The Tao for living in the meantime. And now Stan has some questions for us all to consider.
You got me reading about humility today, and it's compelling, but it just strikes me that we live in a culture that hardly ever commends humility or teaches it. We're taught to be ambitious and strive to make an impact and make a difference. So I just wonder, how do we foster this kind of humility in a culture like this? Does it take a community?
Thank you, Stan. Does it take a community? Ultimately, yes. But I believe that communities are always formed by people who have already made a choice. Even if they haven't articulated that choice, they will be communities of like-minded, like-hearted people who agree that a certain path is better than another path. And so if you have a community of people who have agreed that humility, being rooted, being grounded, being human, humus, the stuff below the earth, if that is the way to be, then you're going to have all kinds of practices to counteract the popular culture, which is always about make a name for yourself. How many followers have you on Instagram? What's your net worth? I mean, all these things are all the time hitting us up here. So we have to make a choice about what we want to be and do or not do in life. So first of all, it takes a choice. And then to practice that choice, one then needs to do and undo certain things. You start your day differently rather than checking up on the stock market or the news or something like that. Maybe you want to start with a book of poetry or something that gets one in a more reflective state of mind so that you realize you are a part and not the whole. You are one small thing, one small follicle of hair, and that's basically who you are. And that in itself, Stan, I think can be quite liberating, because then you don't have to puff yourself up, which is always artificial. And when you're being artificial, you start getting exhausted. You start burning out. So the kind of humility I think Tao is talking about is what we already are, the kind of place where we already are. We're already rooted. We're already human, humus. We're already rooted in the ground, rooted in Tao. So don't forget that. Because when you don't forget that, then you live a life of difference in which you don't have to always project yourself into something and have your way, and therefore someone else does not get their voice heard. So I may be rambling, but thoughts to yourself? Thoughts?
No, I like that. Another thing that I am drawn to in this discussion, I'm a pastor, and I think I'm aware and always kind of looking out for what gets called Gnosticism sometimes, or there's a way that we treat the earth and created things or material things as if they're bad, and that what counts is a kind of spirituality or a kind of knowledge, and that all these material things are going to pass away, and you wind up being all spiritual and not very earthy. This sounds kind of earthy. I mean, you're talking about humus.
Yeah.
You're talking about roots.
Yeah. Well, which came first, the spiritual or the material? And I'd like to say that it's always the material that has come first, those first cell divisions. Not much that we see as spiritual there. Mm. In our Western religions, do get the message that to be spiritual is to negate the material, to let that become secondary. And sometimes women get the message that their materiality is not valued, especially in a spiritual sense. And yet, it's the ones of us who are tied most to the cycles of the earth that are probably the most, well, to use a Taoist word, grounded, rooted. And from that rooting, as Native Americans can talk about, or as shamans can talk about, from that rooting, then we get all the spirituality we can handle, because we realize that we are in a reciprocal relationship with all that is material. And that itself is a spiritual understanding, that our relationship with the material is important and it yields certain things. The food you ate this morning, the food you ate last night, the housing, the clothing, these things have an original life in the earth, in the material. And we can forget that conveniently in our privilege by thinking that, oh, I'm just going to be a spiritual today and be, you know, above all the material mess. You cannot divide it out. You cannot say, oh, today I'm right now I'm spiritual and tomorrow I'll be more earthy. You're always both.
Yeah.
Always both.
So what about heaven? I noticed that word gets used a time or two. Christians pray for on earth as in heaven. I think it's important to keep those two together. Those aren't separated. Yeah. But how does heaven work? That word, how does that word work in Tao?
Taoism, the word for heaven is the word for great, which is a picture of a person, arms outstretched, legs outstretched, and your arms are parallel to the earth. And then heaven has one more line above where the head is, also parallel with your arms. And that is heaven, in which you and the sky are aligned. And heaven is not a spiritual address like in some Western religions. It is a principle that one is aligned with or not. Have you forgotten heaven, that you are, you know, part of the sky? Because your head is actually in the sky, you know. Do you realize that you are part of that, or have you forgotten it? So heaven is this principle. It's a principle, the same word is used in Confucianism as well as Taoism, to have this kind of alignment with all that there is.
So I'm kind of fond of it. One definition of heaven as a dimension of reality, mm-hmm. where God's reign is fully realized. Is that consistent?
Yes, because in Taoism, if you are fully realized, that is, you're truly humbled, then you know that you are already originally connected with all there is, and that includes heaven. There's no distinction between you and heaven. It's already inborn, already within. If a Christian were to say it, original blessing.
Mm.
And the job of the Taoist and this podcast is to remind us that that is our spiritual and material estate. That's who we are. And if we forget or reject or somehow make it secondary, then we are not going to have any of the benefits of Tao because we've forgotten, through our privilege maybe, we've forgotten what we are, who we are in our original essence.
Thank you.
Anything else? How do we do?
We could go on.
One more?
Yeah, I mean, I've done a few funerals, and I find them to be strangely beautiful, hopeful moments. The one moment that always kind of bugs me is when somebody looks at the deceased and says, well, they're not here anymore. They're in another place. They're in a better place. And that always deflates me. I feel like we're missing something there.
Very good observation, and it bugs the heck out of me as well, because they are, in a sense, dead, medically speaking, but they're still alive in memory and influence. They are still part of who we are. I'm talking about parents who may have died. You're still living out the teachings they gave you. So how could you call something totally dead and they're not here? No, most religions in the world, most of them, would agree the dead are not dead. They're always here. And that's why many religions have these rituals after the person's died to help recall who they were, what influence they still have upon us, and then to celebrate that. For example, in Confucianism, after your parents die off or your grandparents die off, you visit their graves twice a year and offer food to them and your loyalty and thank them for the way that they made you. In Taoism, there's none of this sense that death is the final word. Nothing like that.
Yeah, thanks. This is all mysterious stuff, of course, but I do find that she's not here, she's gone on to a greater place or a better place. That seems to kind of insult the place where we are and gets at some of that Gnosticism that I worry about and I think we ought to worry about.
Thank you very much. I think we'll make a Taoist of you yet, Stan.
All right.
Appreciate it so much. Thank you so much for being a part of our podcast this week.
Thanks for bringing the good news.
The podcast is an original labor of love designed and written and co-produced by many whose central idea is that Tao Te Ching remains good news for today. Tao still speaks. Thank you, Stan Wilson, for your readings and your questions. Audrey Davis, thank you, our artist. Molly Hartwell, our singer, sings her song, Put Your Roots Down, thank you. Fortress Press holds the copyright for quotations from my Tao Te Ching translation. Thanks to you for your attendance in this class on Taoism. May your days begin rooted in Earth's peace and grow the fruits of radical hope.
When you're listening, are you listening?